Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure, as always. You're going to be glad you did because our good buddy Jonathan Zook is with us. Jonathan is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the president of the Association for Competitive Technologies, and he's here to join us after having just returned from the Consumer Electronics Show, the CES, the biggest show. Believe it or not, folks, this is the biggest show in Vegas, which is the biggest showtown in the world, the biggest conference town, convention town in the world, and for it to be the biggest one that Vegas has, that's got to be pretty big, right, Jonathan?
Yeah, it's a pretty big show. It's certainly the largest consumer electronics show in the world. There's a big computer show in Germany every year called CeBIT, which I guess is considered the biggest show in the world, but CES is pretty gigantic, several conference centers.
Right. Well, and I have not been to CES, but I know it's pretty cool. Tell us what you found when you were out there.
Well, you know, one thing everybody's talking about is the 150-inch flat panel television.
Right.
So that's, it's basically 11-foot diagonal and, weighs 500 pounds. So you probably had to put up a flying buttress on the outside of your house to hold the wall up. But a lot of other things we're seeing were sort of concept technology in much thinner flat panels so that same size could be accomplished with a lot less weight and a lot less power consumption and things like
right.
that. And,
right.
You know, we're all trying to make our way toward the, video wall that they had in Total Recall. I don't know if you
mm-hmm.
remember that, but where
yep.
you just sort of ask it things in the morning or see a view that you don't have from your house, et cetera. So it should be interesting.
So video is a big deal. I know that the prices for plasma, especially LCD television, is coming way down.
Yeah, it's all starting to be approachable finally.
Yeah, absolutely, no question about it. What about some of the other cool things you saw?
GE General Motors demonstrated a car that could drive itself and navigated orange cones at about 20 miles an hour without
really?
Any human intervention. Yeah. So, I mean, that's probably 5 or 10 years from being in the marketplace. But
don't they have cars now that will actually parallel park themselves?
Yes, they do. Yeah. Lexus or something like that.
Yeah,
has a car
something like
parallel
that.
Park. So, yeah, I mean, the they have those cars for people that have been convicted of DUIs that you have to blow a breathalyzer in order to start the engine. So maybe they'll modify those cars that if you blow past the limit, it'll just start itself up and drive you home.
Yeah, and hopefully they won't have one of those that have a seat that if you wait too much, it won't go forward. I hope they won't do that to us. What about some of the business technology? What did you see out there on that?
Well, I mean, there's constant advances in mobile technology, and you know, one of the buzzwords for the last few years at CES has been this notion of technological convergence. That mm-hmm. that a lot of technologies that have kind of grown up on their own have become more and more kind of integrated together. I mean, that car that drives itself is a good example. You know, GPS, radar, cameras, mm-hmm. et cetera, image recognition. But, you know, you're seeing that in PDAs and phones. I mean, half the phones coming out now have GPSs built into them so that they can give you directions or can give more precise locations for 911 services, et cetera. So it's interesting where that's going. I mean, one of the trends that I find interesting is that as they try and make everything smaller and smaller, it becomes less usable, right? The screen
right.
becomes too small. The keyboard
right.
becomes too small.
Right. Our fingers are not that small, are they?
Well, yeah, and they're not getting any smaller. And
mm-mm.
so the one thing that you're finding is that as devices get smaller, that people want to find a way to make their data big again. And there's a laser keyboard that's about the size of a cigarette lighter communicates via your PDA with a, you know, via Bluetooth, and projects a keyboard onto a table or a desk in which you type on this virtual keyboard. You pair that up with some good video goggles, and you're back to the experience you had when your device was big.
That sounds like a lot of extra equipment, though.
Well, it is, right, and that's what I find is interesting, right? There's the central device gets smaller and smaller, but you may start adding accoutrement to make it bigger. But, you know, after a while, that laser keyboard will be built into your PDA, and the video goggles will project onto the wall or something, and then it'll be all one device.
Accoutrement. Now, what does that cost?
Well, if you get it from France, it's really expensive.
Stand by. We're going to be right back with our good friend Jonathan Zook right after these messages. More to come from the Consumer Electronics Show, CES. And Jonathan was there just this last week in Las Vegas. He's got some more goodies to tell us about. 20 Tales. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find our show, all the different ways you can listen to our show. You can find thousands of archives of past shows. You can get articles that I've written, or my Brain Trust members have written thousands of those. You got our newsletter. You can subscribe to that. We send it to you once a week on Sunday afternoon by email. We have our blog, which we update every weekday, and lots of stuff there that will help you with your business. And, of course, we have our knowledge base, askjim.biz. That's where you can get small business answers now. And as you know, there's no barrier to entry. If you show up, we'll let you come in and hang out with us. Use our stuff for free. Jonathan Zook is all over our websites, and a good friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the president of the Association for Competitive Technologies. And, Jonathan, that's ACT Online, actonline.org, right?
That's right.
And tell us about ACT.
Well, ACT is a small business trade association, particularly in the IT sector. And we represent the interests of small IT companies around the world, to governments primarily around the world, try and prevent too much regulation that makes it difficult to do business, to try and prevent procurement laws that keep small businesses from doing business with the government, a lot of stuff like that.
I want you to give us a report on a couple of things you guys are working on in a few minutes, but before we go there, I want to talk a little bit more about CES. I want to keep these segments together. Did you see anything there that was really, really futuristic, really, you know, cutting edge, but it might be something that you and I could buy today or tomorrow for businesses? Like some kind of business technology that's going to wow us this year?
Well, I mean, a lot of it is incremental technology in a lot of ways, and you have to be a geek to appreciate the level of R&D that goes into incremental technology, so that the end user product just feels like, oh, this is faster, or this got bigger, or something like that. But real engineering problems had to be solved for that to be the case, and I think that's one of the problems that CES has, is that some people come away going, well, this is just, you know, last year there was a 125-inch screen and now there's a 150-inch screen. What's the big deal? There are interesting technologies out there. I mean, for example, the technology that might replace LCDs is LEDs, right, which is the...
Light emitting diode.
Exactly. And
Isn't that going to be... a real energy saver in the future, the LED?
That's exactly right. Sony was demonstrating an organic LED flat panel. It was only 11 inches, but it was really thin. I want to say 10 millimeters or something
right,
like that.
Right, very thin, but very expensive as well.
And the power consumption is about a third of an LCD. So if you think about with your laptop, what that could mean for battery life and things like that, it could be very exciting. So, and weight, I suppose, as well. So, I mean, there's technologies like that that, you know, are only impressive when you realize that they're completely brand new. Are there new technologies that they're going to have those benefits? But when you show up to look at them, it's just an 11-inch flat panel screen, right?
For $15,000 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One of the neat technologies out there is this, you know, touch and recognition technology, you know, that people are seeing in things like the iPhone, right? The Microsoft has a coffee table version of that kind of technology called Microsoft Surface, which is very impressive. And I think that I don't think we're going to, as individual consumers, going to be buying it soon, but I think you're going to start to see it in hotel lobbies and concierge desks and coffee shops and things like that. And it's pretty exciting.
You walk up and touch an icon, and it gives you the information you want. Is that what you're saying?
Well, sort of, yeah, but it's much fancier than that. I mean, for example, you can set your digital camera down on this table, and the digital photos fall out of the camera onto the table. And you can sit there and sort them and resize them and rotate them and move them over to your phone, for example. You know, there was Sheridan did a wine tasting demo where you sat down with a glass of wine, and it called up all the information about where the wine was from and what part of the world and things like that. There's a lot of interesting applications that are yet to be thought of for this technology, but it knows what you set down. You can communicate with devices. You can manipulate things with your hands on this table. It's a pretty neat technology.
The heads up display, I've said for years that when the convergence really gets good is when we'll have our cell phone and all of our PDA and everything in our watch, and you'll touch a button, like, you know, this is a Dick Tracy kind of thing. You'll touch a button on your watch, and it'll pull up a heads up holographic display in front of you, and you literally will, you know, you'll be able to manipulate everything from that holographic display. Now,
right.
I understand that they actually now have a watch that's a phone watch.
And they do have a phone watch, and again, it was concept technology. It wasn't something that you would buy right away, but it was there, and it looked very much like Dick Tracy, but it was still based on a screen, not a heads-up holographic display.
Right.
So that's
right.
Probably still a little ways away.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about in the future. But so you didn't see anything that really just knocked your socks off for business?
Not for business in particular. I mean, there's some nice printing technology. There's a, you know, printing's gotten better. You know, cameras are getting better, et cetera.
Yeah.
But I'm not something that, I really desperately need one of those for my office.
Well, see, I'm still pretty impressed with the thumb drive, a USB drive that has 4 gigabytes. I mean, I'm still impressed with that.
Those are up to 16.
I know. I know. That's amazing, especially if you're a guy like me who remember buying, you know, a megabyte of RAM for, not RAM, but a megabyte of storage for like $100 a megabyte.
Oh, yeah, it was crazy.
Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to get Jonathan to tell us where we are with Internet governance. This is a very important issue, folks, that could affect your business one way or the other. And Jonathan is in the firestorm, in the whirlwind of that debate all around the world. And he'll talk to us about that when we come back after these messages. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Jonathan Zook, and he's the president of the Association for Competitive Technologies. He's been recently returned from the CES. He just gave us a report on that. And Jonathan, I want to change subjects and talk a little bit about Internet governance. And this is a topic that you've been working on very hard. You and Steve Del Bianco, vice president with ACT, and Steve has given us some outstanding reports over the last several months on this. And folks, this is all around certain countries in around the world trying to wrest control of what they think is the United States having control of the Internet, and trying to put the Internet more under the, or I shouldn't say the Internet, but the domain names, the ICANN, registration of domain names under other governance. And Jonathan, talk to us about that.
Well, yeah, there's an organization called the International Corporation of Assigned Names and Numbers. And
ICANN.
And yes, exactly, that most people don't really even know about, much less
network solutions and GoDaddy and some of those, but they don't know that those guys basically work through ICANN.
That's right. ICANN kind of exists to create a business for those people. But, you know, not too long ago, the United Nations showed some interest in taking over the role of ICANN, and then suddenly you had a bunch of small business owners and others who weren't paying any attention to this issue walking around in ICANN rocks T-shirts, right? You know, mm-hmm. hey, we love ICANN, whatever it is, because mm-hmm. we don't want the UN. And, I mean, fundamentally, this notion of these names and numbers has to do with, domain names and then these IP addresses, right? And there are countries around the world that believe the United States government has too much control over this system, and their motives are different. I mean, there's some that just...
Even though ICANN is governed by an international board of directors.
That's right, and it's an international nonprofit.
Isn't the chairman an Australian?
Yes, exactly. And the president.
Yeah.
And so they... they're just concerned that the U.S. government, and the U.S. government has some backstop kind of control because it started here. But the problem is that there are other governments whose motives are a little more sinister, like Syria and China and Russia,
France.
Who are actually interested in using this control to manage the flow of information into their countries.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, it's worth the fight to keep... basically, ICANN governed by the private sector as opposed to the public sector.
Well, let's.
I'd just soon have less government control, yes, U.S. government control too, rather than more control by other governments.
Well, exactly. But correct me if anything that I'm about to say is wrong, Jonathan. ICANN works. Nobody is prevented from getting access to domain registration, and it just works for everybody. Am I correct about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, like everything, it has its failings, right?
What's an example?
Well, like, one of the issues has to do with international domain names, right? The ability
yeah.
to, instead of typing www.microsoft.com, you could type in something in your native character set in Chinese or in
yeah.
or in Arabic, for example, And ICANN has dragged its heels in facilitating the implementation of these so-called IDNs, or international domain names.
Yeah.
And so that gets used as an excuse. But, you know, the irony, of course, is that with government involvement, it's not that things would move any faster. So
mm-hmm.
I think we have some work to do to make ICANN more efficient and perhaps more open. But I think we should...
But we don't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater, which
exactly
is what they want
right.
to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, folks,
so,
you don't want the domain name governance to be under the same people who gave us oil for food in Iraq.
Yeah,
and the same people who are managing, who are basically overseeing the Holocaust in Africa right now. You know.
Yeah, and I mean, and those are examples actually of action, right? I mean, most of the history
right.
of the United Nations is inaction.
Right.
So, I mean,
So, quickly, I've got just a few seconds. Where do you think we stand right now? Are we fighting this off?
Well, what happened is the United Nations began instead something called the Internet Governance Forum, which is a kind of
yeah.
a talk shop about Internet issues. And that has become a platform for those countries to continue to
make those requests. But there's no imminent danger, is there?
No,
right
I wouldn't
now.
Say there's no... Yeah, there's no imminent danger,
imminent
but I'm
danger.
Not sure the danger's gone away completely.
No, I understand, but just no imminent danger, like there might have been, say, a year ago.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, Jonathan, thanks for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure.
We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.